truly bless Sharon Baptist Church with the people, had given people the talent and ability to sing for His honor and for His glory. Amen. We're thankful for that. Take your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We'll look at verses 1 through 6 in just a moment or two. And with each approaching day, and lest I say each approaching hour, I'm getting more and more excited about the Grace Giving Missions Conference coming up beginning on Wednesday. Our good friend Dr. O'Malley is going to be with us along with some of our long-term missionaries that we've been supporting through the years, and as well as a new pastor, a former pastor and his wife that are going to into not the church planting ministry, but into the reviving ministry, taking churches that have only maybe have 5, 7, 10 people left in it, and then rebuilding that church for the honor and glory of the Lord, then going on to another church after that. And we're excited about my brother Vincent and what him and his wife, the ministry God has called them to. He faithfully pastored, I believe, the same church over 28 years before God has called him into this ministry. And we're looking forward to that, looking forward to renewing our friendships with Dr. O'Malley, and it's going to be just a wonderful week in the Lord. Well, we're looking here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll read verses 1 through 6 in just a moment. This evening, again, we're going to focus on this idea of grace giving, and we answer this question, grace giving, just what is it when we speak about grace giving? I think probably a majority of us here have a good understanding of what grace giving is, but some that might listen to this by the way of live stream this evening might not have any idea what grace giving is, and we'll give them some good understanding in this matter of grace giving. I think the Bible teaches three ways of giving that finances the work of the local New Testament church. Number one, it's by tithing. It's simply returning the first tenth of all of your income to the Lord through the local church. And God has been that has been God's plan for providing the financing for maintaining his house and for maintaining his pastors and missionaries and ministers down through the ages. The second way of giving that's been ordained, that financed the Lord's work, and that's by offerings. And those gifts that are required of the Lord are those people that are over and above the tithe. So the tithe, a good starting spot, I believe, would be 10%. And an offering would be those above that 10%. The children of Israel were charged with robbing God. Notice what the Bible says in Malachi 3 and verse number 8, not only in their tithes, but in their offerings. Malachi 3:8 says this, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee?" So this is God then speaking to the nation of Israel. This is where the nation of Israel robbed God. He says, in tithes and offerings. And so, my friend, I believe it really behooves us not just to give tithes, but to give offerings as well. Then there's this matter of grace-giving offering. Grace-giving is a freewill offering that's collected weekly in our churches to provide the financing for the work of worldwide missions. That word missions really involves the training and equipping and sending and supporting those personnel who devote their time to preaching the gospel, planting churches in the regions beyond that we're able to reach here in the depths of this ministry here at Sharon Baptist Church. And the faith promise method of giving is fully described here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter number 9. I would encourage you between now and the start of the missions conference to read fully these chapters at least one time through. Having gave our introduction, let's stand this evening as to give respect to the reading of God's Word. We'll read 2 Corinthians beginning in chapter 8 and verse number 1 down through verse number 6, and then we'll pray and think on this thought of grace giving. Just what is it? Grace giving, just what is it? Notice what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. "Moreover, brethren, we do you, to wit, the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, if ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do bow our head and our hearts before you this evening. And Father, we thank you for these two wonderful chapters in the book of 2 Corinthians, Father, that deal directly with this idea of grace giving. So, Father, I pray as we look at this matter today, Father, you'll help us to have a great understanding, maybe a renewed responsibility, maybe, Father, something that we have forgotten about, maybe be reminded of this very evening. And, Father, we seek to give you honor and glory. And then, again, Father, we pray for those that can't be here this evening, those that are sick, Father, some are traveling away this weekend, Father, and I pray for them. Father, let them know we miss them dearly. We're praying for their quick and speedy recovery, looking forward to seeing the church house full once again on Wednesday evening. So, Lord, we seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. To help you in your understanding of this idea of grace, a giving, a promise plan, there are several questions that I want to ask and answer for you this evening. Notice, first of all, the first question, what do we mean by when we say grace giving? Notice the description of grace giving. First of all, it's a promise to God. Notice carefully the difference between this and a pledge. As we talk about our total stewardship commitment and our grace giving, a pledge, by definition, is something you sign guaranteeing collection of in the case of non-payment. That's kind of what we did in our building program. We didn't ask you to give by faith, but ask you to give a faith promise or to give a grace by grace giving. We asked you to give a pledge. In other words, you're signing your name on the dotted line, and you said that I will give this much for the glory of God, for the building of the new pastoral study edition and the church office edition. Thank you for those who are found faithful in that. You signed on the dotted line, and I pray that no one that ever called you and said, hey, you did not give what you promised to give. Majority of you gave as you promised to do so, but that's a pledge. Let me assure you that no one is ever going to come to you personally demanding your payment or demanding your promise in this area of faith giving. This is entirely between you and God. Let me just add a word of caution from the Word of God that should be more binding to you than any other organization. It should be more binding than even a pledge where you put your name on the dotted line. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4 says this, when thou vowest a vow to God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. So this idea of grace giving is not a pledge. We find it's a promise. You're promising God that you're going to give this much for the work of worldwide missions each week here at Sharon Baptist Church. Secondly, we find it's an act of faith. You're promising, according to the Bible, to give even beyond your ability to give. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 3, the Bible says this, for to their power I bear record. That word power means according to their ability. Then he said, I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And simply what I mean by this, as we think about being an act of faith, it's simply trusting God to supply the amount that he impresses upon your heart. I can just simply put it this way. If you look at your family budget, and I trust you do have a family budget, you look at your family budget and you say, I can afford to give $80 a week to the work of worldwide missions through Sharon Baptist Church, and you subscribe that number down and give that, let me help you. That is really not grace giving. And when you look at your budget and you say, $80 is what I can afford, but God then says, I want you to give $100. That, my friend, is grace giving. It's promising God that he is going to faithfully provide you not what you think you can afford, but what he asks you to give. Now, if you look at your budget and you say, well, I can afford to give $80, and God said, well, praise the Lord for that because that's what I want you to give. I just want you to give $80. You see, the idea is simply this, is you just give what God tells you to give, no matter if it's bigger or if it's smaller. So we find that it's an act of faith, but then we find it's a free will offering. And also the 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 3. The Bible said they were willing of themselves, for if they be a first a willing mind. So it has to be a free will offering. This offering is not commanded like the tithe. This offering is not commanded like offerings are. And verse number 8, Paul even says, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion and the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. So what are you saying, Pastor Carroll? Are you saying that we don't have to give to grace giving or faith promise missions? Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. Paul was simply saying, because of the need of others to receive Christ as their Savior, you and I ought to be compelled to give. Fourthly, notice, it's a promise for a year. Notice in verse number 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So in other words, Paul was simply saying this, you had promised a year ago to give this amount of money. He said, I'm just asking you now to give this amount of money. And this is the basis, verse number 10, for our yearly commitment by faith to this area of grace-giving missions. So we find then this year that you are promising to give your grace-giving offering beginning November the 1st, 2022, all the way through October 31st, 2023. And you say, well, what if I leave my church and I go somewhere else? Or what if I'm stationed somewhere else? Or what if something else happens or this happens? Listen, this promise that you give is to God through Sharon Baptist Church. You understand that we base how many missionaries that we support based upon the amount that you said you're going to faithfully supply each week to Sharon Baptist Church. So there's been occasions where people, unfortunately, have left this church. But they're understanding this, that while their tithe goes to their new church, their faith promise continues all the way through October 31st, 2023, because they promised God they would give through Sharon Baptist Church. And so it's a promise for a year when we give our grace-giving total stewardship card. So the first question that we ask ourselves is, what do we mean by faith promise missions or grace-giving missions? The second question we have this evening is this. Why should I give to grace-giving offering? Why should I give to grace-giving offering? Notice the desire of the grace-giving plan. In five different passages of Scripture, we recorded a commandment of our Lord has given us to the church that's called the Great Commission. It's in Luke chapter 28, Mark chapter number 6, Luke chapter 24, John chapter 20, and Acts chapter 1, and verse number 8 probably is the most famous of all those verses. And these commands obligate each Christian with the responsibility of taking the gospel to every creature. And think about this. The only way that we can be obedient to this command is by witnessing at home, and I trust and pray that you do that, and then by sending others to go where you and I cannot go. And this sending of others to the regions beyond our ability to go is what we call the work of missions. Why should I give a grace-giving offering? Why do I need to give this grace-giving offering? Notice, first of all, to express the loving obedience to this command. To express the loving obedience to this command. I think about what Jesus said in John 15 and verse number 14. If you love me, keep my commandments. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, our Savior said this, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Notice the expression in our text in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 8, the last part of the verse. We find that Paul says that we are to give, notice the words, to prove the sincerity of your love. In other words, he said, the proof of your love is this extra giving above tithes and above your offering that's called grace giving. And I think love is stronger than a commandment. I can be commanded to do something for my wife, but you know what? I'd rather do it because I love her. Love is always stronger than a commandment. And how can we love the Lord and let those who have never heard the gospel die without hearing it? Thank God that someone shared with you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that someone gave that missionary pastor to the United States Air Force, the RAF Upper Heyford, England, was sent there. People gave that he might get there and preach the gospel in order that this pastor and his wife might be saved. Thank God for that. Well, we should give to a faith promised offering, secondly, because of the example of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 9 of our text. The Bible says, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Thank God for that. The example of Jesus Christ, who the Bible says was rich, yet for our sake became poor, that through his poverty, you and I have opportunity to be rich. And then thirdly, notice, because of God's blessings upon you. You know, we mentioned this morning that we live in America and we are truly blessed. Every one of us could look at our own situation, even with all its ups and all its downs, we could say we are truly blessed. This afternoon, we're able to go to the Pocosin Seafood Festival, and thank God, I noticed that the Gideons were out there. And I walked by close to the guy, and they were handing out Gideon New Testaments, and he said, "Sir, would you like a New Testament?" I said, "Sir, to be quite honest with you, I probably have about 10 New Testaments and over 25 Bibles in my house. I'm a pastor of Sharon Baptist Church. I just want to say thank you for giving out the gospel." Listen, we are blessed beyond all measure, and we have more freedoms and more liberty than just about any other nation here on earth. We just hold about half of all the nation's wealth, yet we only compromise about 6% of the world's population. Just think about it. We hold half of the world's wealth, but yet only compromise 6% of the world's population. We're so blessed. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 13 and 14, Paul writes this and said, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burden, but by inequality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that there may be equality." And then Jesus said in Acts 20, verse number 35, "It's more blessed to give than it is to receive." And so the reason that you and I are so blessed is that we might send the gospel of Jesus Christ out to a lost and dying world. You didn't think all those blessings came your way because you just gave your tithes and your offerings, and God really has essentially said this, that you can never outgive me. You don't think all those extra blessings came just because you gave your tithes and offerings? Oh, I think you're so greatly misunderstood. I think that God oftentimes gives us more back from our tithes and offerings in order that we might be able to give in this area of grace giving to the work of worldwide missions. When you honestly think about it and you consider the lost, it's better to be on the giving side than on the receiving end. How about that? I'm glad that I'm on the giving side than on the receiving side of receiving the gospel, because there's always a chance that I might have rejected the gospel as I did over and over again until the point when I trusted in Christ as my personal Savior. So ask yourself this question. What if you were waiting for someone to give you the gospel? What if you were lost and you're still waiting for someone to give you the gospel? What a terrible place that would be. I think the third question we need to ask ourselves about this area of grace giving is simply this. How can I give a grace giving offering? How can I give a grace giving offering? Or notice this, the disbursement of the grace giving plan. The disbursement of the grace giving plan. First of all, we have to submit to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw this morning. Verse number 5 says this, "As this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord." So we got to make sure that Jesus Christ has his rightful place over us. He has to be the Lord of our life. He purchased your life, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 19 through 20. Notice what he said. "And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore I glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." And notice, as him being Lord over your life, he has position over you. Again, Paul's writing in Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, and says this, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name, that the name of Jesus every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the glory of God the Father." And so Jesus has lordship over your life. He purchased your life. He has position over you. Then notice the power that's available in Matthew 28 and verse number 16, the last part of that verse, where the Bible said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." And Paul did this in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 6. The Bible said he was trembling and astonished and said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Well, I think that we need to submit to the Lordship of Christ. But then I think, secondly, surrender your will to His will. Notice in verse number 3 what Paul writes and says, "For they were willing of themselves." And look down at verse number 12. Again, Paul says, "For if there first be a willing mind." If you think about self-will and self-centeredness are sinful characteristics of my flesh. They're sinful characteristics of your flesh that will keep you from giving in this area of grace-giving offering. If you were to study the book of Romans chapter 6 and 7, it would reveal really 4 steps to have victory over self-centeredness in our life. You say, "Well, how can I do that? That's me. I'm self-centered, and I have sinful characteristics of the flesh that will keep me from giving to this idea of grace-giving missions." Well, number 1, in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, we can admit your carnality. Paul said, "But I am carnal, sold under sin." And then in verse number 18, he said, "For I know that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And then in Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, Paul continues on and said, "Wretched man that I am." So the first step in really getting rid of this self-centeredness to have victory in this area of grace-giving missions is simply admitting your carnality. But notice, secondly, you need to acknowledge your own crucifixion. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 6, the Bible says this, "Knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." So we need to admit our carnality, acknowledge our crucifixion, and then thirdly, we need to apply the cross. And in Luke chapter 9, we find Jesus said this, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." And so as we do those 3 things, it leads us to fourthly, appropriate the Christ life by faith. And we find that Paul writes in Galatians 2 and verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but notice this, Christ liveth in me." So we need to surrender your will. But then notice thirdly, settle the amount that God would have you to give. Notice in our text, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 7, just maybe the next page over in your Bible. Let's read that, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 7. So the Bible says, "Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." I want you to notice that word purpose. It comes from a Greek word meaning to bring forth. Heart comes from a Greek word cardia, meaning reason, will, and emotion. So you say, "Well, Pastor Carroll, how can I determine just exactly what God wants me to give?" Ask God with a submissive will. And don't be sarcastic about it and say, "Okay, God, I'll just give whatever you want me to give." You bow before Him, humbly ask and seek Him, and I can promise you this, if you'll say, "Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to give?" If you're willing to do His will, He will impress upon you the amount that He wants you to give. The amount indicate that He gives you may be what you seem to be beyond your personal ability to give. But remember, in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, the Lord said this, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible that believe on Him." So don't let the amount knock you back. You pray about it. And if God tells you to give that amount, just go ahead and give it and trust Him by faith for it. Well, we can settle the amount God wants you to give. But notice fourthly, subscribe that amount to your total stewardship card. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 5, the first part of that verse. The Bible says, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you and make up beforehand your bounty." From the context, we really learn that Paul had been sent to Corinth to make up before his coming the bounty. That word bounty literally means this. It means a blessing. In 2 Corinthians 8, verses 16 through 17, Paul writes that he sent Titus to exhort or to appeal to them and their giving. And so we find that fourthly, we subscribe to that amount that God has laid upon your heart and write it down. Let me just remind you of this. We're not asking you to do that until that Sunday morning. After the message is preached Sunday morning, we're going to have another season of prayer. And then as God continues to lay that amount on you, you subscribe that on your card. And then fifthly, you set that amount aside weekly and go ahead and give it. Notice verse 11. The Bible says, now there perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. So in other words, Paul is simply saying this. You had a desire. You said that God laid upon your heart to give this much to the work of worldwide missions. And he said, now you had that desire. He said, now perform it. In other words, he said, just go ahead and give what God has already told you to give. And knowing then that it's God's will for you to give that amount weekly, it simply becomes a matter of being a good steward to give as he has led and promised you he would provide if you'll trust him. Notice this. Someone once said, God never commands us to do something that he will not enable us to do. I remember when he first started giving back then, it used to be called Faith Promise, but again, I think the more biblical name is Grace Giving. And so when we first did our Grace Giving Promise, and God laid an amount on our heart, I was just an E5, and we had bills, and we lived overseas, and the pound rate was really high, and I looked at my wife, and I said, well, this is the amount that I think God was going to give, but he said, we're really stepping out by faith. You know what she said? Well, I think we should give, I'm not going to say the amount, but $20 more than what I already said. And I was already thought we were stepping out by faith doing that, you see. And my friend is simply this, set it aside each week, then go ahead and give it. Simply not this. It's not just setting it aside and then giving it in one lump sum at the end of the month, because you know what? Old Dr. Smutty Faith will come knock on your door and your tire's going to blow out and they're going to tell you, if I don't have any money, and you'll say, well, we got that money for Grace Giving and set aside at the end of the month. We'll just use that and we'll put it back in the end of the month. You know how that goes, amen. How many of you have ever taken money out of your savings and said, well, we're going to put it right back. We'll put this much amount back for the next 4 weeks. We're going to cover back up, raise our savings back up to where we liked it to be, and we're comfortable with that. And then something else happens, you never put that money back, something else comes back, and next thing you know, before you know it, you say, well, we can just take the money of our savings, we'll pay it back. You look at your savings, and guess what? There's no savings, amen? You know, the carnality and the humanness of our flesh, so just go ahead and do it. You say, how can God seemingly give me more than I think that I can afford? Well, he can do it a number of ways. Number one, according to Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 through 9, God can increase your supply. He can let you work overtime hours. He can let you find that $20 bill on the ground somewhere. I don't know how he can do it, but he can do it if that's what his will is. He can help you increase your supply. But then number two, he can help you decrease your spending. You know, a lot of us have way too much discretionary spending, you know. We'd be better off taking that discretionary spending and socking it away in our savings account. At least the interest rate, the stock market's not going to eat it away, amen. So we can decrease your spending. You know, we don't need two Starbucks coffees every day of the week as we travel to work and home from work. A third way God can help you and lead you to give what you believe to be more than what you can afford. God can help give you wisdom to be good stewards of what you have. So I think that's a good way. And then give grace to sacrifice, according to 2 Corinthians 11, verses 7 through 10. And God can say, listen, I want you to give this much. I know it's going to be a sacrifice, but I'm going to give you the grace, according to 2 Corinthians 11, verses 7 through 10, to withstand this for the year. And then also, God could do this. God could perform the supernatural. I heard stories and stories and stories of particularly of children who promised God they'll give them a quarter every week to the work of worldwide missions. And come Saturday evening, listen, they didn't mow any grass, they didn't do any extra chores, didn't have any money. So what did they do? They did the old root around the cushions where their dad sits or something like that. Went and looked under the car mats of the car seat, and God supernaturally provides. You know, he does that sometimes because he loves us to do that. God can just supernaturally provide for you. I'm simply saying this at Mark 10, verse number 27, with men is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. By faith, we just need to claim the promises that are in the Word of God. Philippians 4:13 says this, by this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And then, of course, in the context of Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So as we close tonight, I hope this reminder and this sermon of what is grace giving answered your questions concerning this offering that we're going about and this promise that we'll be receiving next week. We saw the meaning of grace giving. It's a promise to God. It's done by an act of faith. It's a free will offering, and it's a promise for a year. We answer the question, why should I give the faith promise? We saw because it expresses the loving obedience to God's command, and because of the example of Jesus Christ, who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, and then because of God's blessings on you, where God promised in his word to bless you. And how can I make this grace-giving offering? It begins by, number one, surrendering to the Lordship of Christ. Surrender your will to his will. Settle the amount he wants you to give. Subscribe it on the card and set aside the amount to give weekly, and then get this and give it each week. If you'll do that, listen, we'll have a wonderful missions year here at Sharon Baptist Church. Just to let you know that we're asking God for $100,000. You say, well, is that possible? Yes, it is, because all things are possible through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's our goal, $100,000. So as you pray about that and you think about that, you follow this plan and program of financing the work of worldwide missions by this means of grace-giving promise that we're going to receive on Sunday. And if you'll do that, just do what God asks you to do, you'll have a wonderful year in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening. And Father, we thank you for this few moments that we could spend here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Thinking about grace giving, just what is it? So Father, I pray, Lord, that you would be a help to your people that are here. And Father, no doubt most of the people that are here have already have been and understood in this area of grace giving. Father, they heard preaching to this before, Father. But I pray, Lord, as they would think about the renewed commitment to you for this coming missions year, Lord, that you would impress upon their heart again these truths that you have laid out for us today. Help us, Father, not to look at what could have been and what should have been. Even, Father, if we had failures in the past year of giving our grace-giving missions offering, Father, may we seek forgiveness for that. May we come up, Father, restored and renewed in our area of grace-giving this new year. And may each and every one of us this new year be found faithful giving to you. So, Father, we turn this invitation over to you. Father, maybe there's some here that begin even now praying together as husband and wife on what you would have them to give this coming missions year. So, Father, for the cause of Christ during this mission year, Father, we pray that your will be done in and through Sharon Baptist Church and the people that are attached to this church. So, Father, we pray that you'll bless us only you can do, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Let's stand.